Welcome to the Being Known podcast with my friend, Dr. Kurt Thompson.
My friend, Pepper Sweeney.
We are here to discover and explore what it means to be truly known. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, Pep.
How you doing
today?
Good
to see you again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. Last week was a great start to this season. I'm really excited to delve into the first chapter of the book today. The book being The Deepest Place. I wish I could do it like Barry White, because he's got that.
The deepest place.
I can't. I get too grovelly.
The deepest place, baby.
Oh, I like it. The deepest place, suffering.
Suffering the formation of hope. Baby, I'm your hope.
You should quit your day job.
Baby, I'll form your hope.
Oh my gosh, you got to stop. So hopefully by now you've picked up the book and you've started reading at least the intro and maybe the first chapter, because we're going to be going through this book chapter by chapter this season, and we want you to be on board fully with us so that you get the most out of it. So we're glad you're here. Kurt, I'm glad to be with you today. I wanted to start, you know, you start this chapter, chapter one, Just Faith. You start with Romans 1-5, which is very much the center of this work that we're going to be doing. So I thought maybe I would start by reading that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. That's public domain, right? We don't have to worry.
the Bible.
The Bible's public domain. We don't have to worry about somebody trying to make us pay
for it. You're going to cite Paul and God.
I think they'll be good with it. They've always wanted us to spread the word anyway. They didn't want us to hold back on it. So I'm going to go ahead.
I just want to know what the royalties are for this. If you've checked with Jesus about this.
Let's see. Okay, here we go. Romans 5, 1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 5, 1-5. And I know we're going to be talking a lot and distilling a lot of this verse throughout the remainder of this season as we go through the book and really seeing how it works in our lives in tangible ways. And, you know, the thing that stands out to me is the second half of this verse. Because for so many of us, when we're suffering, we just can't imagine anything but the suffering. As we said last week, we ignore the suffering for as long as we can, and we try to cover it with other things. You know, but this verse seems to tell us that suffering is certainly not the end of the story. It's the beginning of a journey towards hope. And hope isn't just, you know, wishful thinking. It's a solid, sturdy anchor for the soul. You know, that to me, you know, we joke about the fact that we're doing a season on hope, I'm on suffering, but I want the listeners to know that it's also, and not any less so, a season on hope. I think it's important to know that, and that the hope isn't to mute or pacify or cover the suffering, but it's the suffering and the journey with the suffering that brings us to hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so well said. We want our listeners to know that we will be looking unflinchingly at our suffering, because we believe that in doing that, hope is where we find ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we look at our suffering in the context of presence of the body of Jesus.
Yeah.
I have a friend, he's a priest at a Anglican church here in Northern Virginia. His name is Scott Buckout. And he preached a sermon that I cite actually in a previous work that I wrote about. And he preached a sermon that in which he talks about that he talks about, you know, how formation is contextualized for us as followers of Jesus through, number one, through the scriptures, number two, the Holy Spirit, and number three, the body of Christ. Mm. These are the three kind of this tripod of what we as followers of Jesus lean into. These are the things that we want to surround ourselves with to form us. And they are all three of those things are speaking to, each of those things is speaking to the other two things, right? The scriptures, we understand the scriptures in the context of the body of Jesus. I don't just read the text by myself. I read it in the context of a community who helps me understand. We wrestle with these things together. That scriptural text that this, you know, as we've said here before, citing our friends at the Bible Project, that this God-human, ancient, Jewish, messianic, meditative wisdom literature, man, I love that, that is literally mapped onto the practice of being in community, in which we as a body of Jesus are actually reflecting not just what we read in the text, but we live in the, as a body of Jesus, as in the same way that the text was constructed and put together by all the Bible nerds, you know, in the ancient Middle East who are putting this together, all under the hovering, guiding, authoritative presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want our listeners to know and to remember that that's what we're doing here in this podcast, that we are speaking in that context. And so when we're reading this text, we're not just reading it as this singular thing that's going to guide us. It's doing so in the context of the body of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that speaks to this notion, first of all, that to be human is to suffer, as we said in our first episode. And as you also rightly said, that for many of us who suffer, hope can seem out of reach. It's difficult because we often think of hope as a thing that, you know, is, I either have it or I don't. And my circumstances are often the things that decide whether or not I have it or I don't. I don't imagine it to be a thing that I form. I don't imagine it to be a thing over which I have the agency to form or not form. But that, in fact, is how the text, you know, brings us to this notion of hope. It isn't a thing that just drops out of the sky magically. It is a thing that is the byproduct of the formation work that we encounter when we move from suffering to perseverance to character and then to hope. But as we like to say, we like to begin at the beginning because we don't just begin with suffering. Our lives don't begin with suffering. We often, there are some Christian traditions who make a practice of when we, if you were to ask them, like, well, what's the gospel? They'll say, well, the gospel is that we are sinners and Jesus has come to save us, and all of which is true. But the gospel actually, in the text itself, does not begin with we are sinners. It begins with the good news, not just that Jesus has come to die for us, all of which is good news, but the good news that we are made in God's image to begin with, that we were made to be his image bearers in order to create beauty and goodness in the world. And when we mess that up, he's not giving up on his project. And so, yes, Jesus comes because of the beginning. And the beginning does not begin in Genesis chapter 3. It begins in Genesis chapter 1, where we learn about what our purpose is that has not changed from the beginning. And so when it comes then to how we approach this text, we don't want to just begin with suffering. We want to begin farther back than that, where Paul actually begins. Because Paul, he knows the question is not if we suffer, but to what degree are we aware of it and how are we in relationship to it and how are we responding to it? Paul's assuming, because he lives in the real world, he lives in the world where people do suffer. Now, you know, as I mentioned in the last episode, like, I want to be hopeful. I just don't want to have to suffer to get there.
Right.
I want my hope to show up and kind of dispense with all my suffering. I see these as kind of opposite things. I'm either suffering or I'm hopeful. And that's not the reality of the human condition. But we often have been trained to think that if I'm suffering, that hope is really out of reach. I can't know what it means to be hopeful. But Paul, in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, lives the whole different set of assumptions and helps us form durable hope through our suffering. So we don't get to that hope by beginning our conversation with suffering, as I mentioned. We begin, in Paul's text, by talking about these two theological terms, faith and justification. Now, you know, this is a podcast about being deeply known. And when we read the text, when the texts come to us, kind of given our Western tradition, given our sense of being, you know, we're wordy, logical, linear, analyzing people, we often think that if we just the abstract notion, so therefore, since we've been justified by faith, it's kind of like these theological terms that have huge implications and power for the regeneration of our lives. But it's easy for us to forget that, like, those things, long before they are theological terms, first have to be experiences that we encounter in our embodied experience in the world. Faith isn't just this thing I believe in, kind of like, you know, I believe in the Andromeda galaxy. It's out there. I've seen pictures of it. I believe it, but it doesn't have any impact on my embodied life. I can believe all kinds of laws of physics, but if I don't really like live in or work in that world, like, it doesn't really have much of an impact on me. So we often just encounter those two ideas, faith and justification, in the abstract, without recognizing that they actually have their origin in embodied neurophysiological activity. We like to say in the world of interpersonal neurobiology that first we sense, and then we make sense of what we sense. We've said in other contexts that the Catholic theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar, you know, was well known to have said, look, first, long before we get to truth and before we get to goodness, first we have to sense beauty in the world. Because beauty is the first thing we encounter that tells us what goodness actually is. And then I discover what truth is on the backside of that because of what I first sense. And so when it comes to faith, faith isn't just a thing that, you know, is an abstraction. It actually amounts to my capacity to trust actively another human being, let alone trust God. And how am I going to do that if I don't have an attachment experience with a human being? And so what we come to discover is that faith that Paul's talking about is not first theology. It is theology. It's important to know that it is theological. And it's important for us to know that there are times when I need to call on that theology to instruct me, at times when what I'm feeling and sensing isn't feeling very trustworthy. This is where the scriptures play their role. But it doesn't begin with this. Paul, before he writes all this stuff, has an encounter with Jesus on this road to Damascus, where he like kicks him on his butt, off his horse, like, what the heck? Like, now the guy can't see. Like, this is real embodied encounter with the Jesus who's king of the world. And so this trust is not something we do before we act with our bodies. It is the very action of our bodies and minds in relationship with others. I don't first trust and then act. My action is the action of trust that demonstrates that. And so, you know, I think of, again, we cited this in our last episode. Think about the number of conversations that you and I have had, that we've had with Amy, where we reveal things about our stories. Mm-hmm. That are hard, painful, vulnerable, what have you. And we all have other friendships with which Right. We do this. We make a practice of this. I don't first trust my friend. I don't first trust you, and then I tell you something. I trust you by telling you something. Mm. And it's risky.
It is.
And this is what attachment is all about. We've been justified by faith. The justification, though, I love what N.T. Wright likes to say, that we have been put in the right. with the action of Jesus, which is an embodied thing. It is a real thing that happens in real time and space. It is not just an abstraction theologically. It is a real time active event in history. And in that act, God is saying to the world, welcome home. Adam wouldn't take responsibility for his stuff. Eve wouldn't take responsibility for his stuff. Abraham wouldn't take responsibility for his stuff. Moses, David, they all had trouble taking responsibility in such a way. Like they all, none of them could get it right. And so I guess I'm going to take responsibility for what I've started. Finally, in Jesus, we have someone who can get the job done. And I'm going to hook my wagon to that horse. And I trust that I'm going to live as if I believe this is, that's how I'm going to live. I'm going to, with an action, with my body. I have some embodied, felt sense that in that act, God has made things right. He has declared those who trust him, he's declared us not guilty. So y'all come.
So if you walked into my kitchen right now, one of the things that you might notice is on my refrigerator, I have some save the date cards up there. I have some wonderful gatherings and weddings coming up in the summer, all the way out into the fall, and I'm really excited about these things. And just having these save the dates and knowing that I have these great things to look forward to makes my present life even better, just having those things coming up. So I have a gift for you, a save the date. The Center for Being Known is thrilled to announce the Connections Conference 2024 is coming to you October the 24th and the 25th. Now, this is going to be a great opportunity for you to do things like connect with your confessional communities if you're in one. If you're not in one, it'll be a great opportunity for you to join one, as we will be connecting some people there in some confessional communities. You'll also have the opportunity to hear some great speakers, including Sandra McCracken, Dr. Dan Allender, David Bailey, and Jessica Honegger. Of course, Dr. Kurt Thompson will be there. I will be there emceeing. And additionally, we will have a live Being Known podcast recording that is included in this event. You know, listen, we have listened to you. We know that you want some time to breathe at this event. You don't just want to be spoken to the entire time. You want to be interactive and connecting with each other. And we want to make that happen for you. So mark your calendars for October 24th and 25th and join us for an unforgettable experience of learning, growth, and connection at the Connections Conference 2024, themed From Imagination to Incarnation. There's going to be plenty of time for you to meet one another and connect with new friends. Stay tuned for more details and registration information coming soon. But until then, save the date.
I love in The Great Divorce, this famous fictional book by C.S. Lewis, in which you have a group of people on a bus that travel from hell to heaven. And in this, you know, Lewis's character, as he gets to heaven and he walks around with his guide, George MacDonald. MacDonald's character says to Lewis at one point, you know, at the end of the day, God doesn't send anyone to hell. People send themselves there. And this is what justification is.
Right.
Now, there might be those who will quibble with this, but all this is to say that all these things are embodied practices. See, I can believe in a Jesus because of how you and Amy have loved me. That's what makes him believable, the body of Jesus.
That's right.
And that's what trust is. I trust you and Amy. That's what I trust. And if I'm trusting you and Amy, I'm trusting Jesus. That's what I'm doing, because the Spirit is in this. And then what you're asking me to do, what we're asking each other to do, is as we have these foothill encounters of trust, we discover that we are asking ourselves to move. We've talked about this before in other seasons. We're moving from imagination to incarnation. Now, mind you, notice, folks, we haven't started formally. We're not going to get to suffering formally for a little while. And this is crucially important, because we think that that's where we begin. And we're not beginning, with Genesis chapter 3. We're beginning with Genesis chapter 1. We're not beginning with suffering. We're beginning with the verses that precede it that tell us that Paul can write what he writes in verse 3, suffering, perseverance, character, hope, because of what he writes in verses 1 and 2. We begin with trust. We begin with this is what we're going to practice. We're going to practice allowing ourselves to be known, be deeply known, to develop this attachment, to develop in this way of confession, this way of telling the truth about our lives and being loved, and moving from what I imagine to be the case in my mind to incarnating that in the same way that the entire arc of the biblical narrative has done for us in the coming of Jesus. And as I have embodied encounters with others, I practice being receptive to being loved. We've seen this in confessional communities that we've talked about, these embodied encounters with the body of Jesus. You know, my colleague, my partner, I sometimes call my partner in crime, Courtney Morrison, who's the owner of our practice now, and she and I do a lot of work together. And yesterday we were working and planning on, we're developing a training seminar, training, a year-long training project for clinicians around the, how do we train clinicians to run confessional communities. And this whole notion of, you know, one of the things that we ground these confessional communities in is an anthropology that is a biblical anthropology. This notion that we as human beings are made as God image bearers. And that when my body comes, when any one of the members comes into this community, comes into one of these communities, they are bringing with them in their bodies, they are bringing with them all the epigenetic, preloaded family of origin stuff into that space. And so everybody comes in, they just think, oh, it's eight individuals who are sitting here in the room without thinking like, actually, it's eight individuals with their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents and their children and their cousins, like right. All the embodied stuff. And like, dude, that's a lot of people in the room.
It's a big crowd.
And it's striking to see what happens when those embodied experiences meet the body of believers that are in the room. And so my trust is going to be developed as I encounter a body of people that are helping both to reveal, to heal, to convict me of where I need to make changes, but also where I can be recommissioned to imagine my life differently because I'm having this incarnated encounter here in this room. We like to talk about it in this way, the physics of the relational, the mass effect of relationships, that when Jesus comes for us, he comes, but he doesn't come by himself. He comes in the Spirit, sensing the presence of his Father. It's like it's a 3-on-1 fast break. Like, they're coming. They're coming for us. And this is what we want to say to those who are deeply aware of where your suffering is, that we are coming for you. That Jesus says, we are coming for you. It's not just that I'm coming for you. We are coming for you. The Father, the Son, the Spirit are coming, and all the body of Jesus. We are all doing this work together. And this notion of being curious about what are my attachment processes like? By whom am I being deeply known on a regular basis? We can talk about justification till the cows come home as a theological concept, but do I feel in my chest the felt sense of hospitality? Do I imagine in my mind when I wake up that I'm heading into a day in which I've been welcomed into God's house, like literally his house? Or as I like to think about it, like I think about my, I think I've said this here before, you know, David Wilcox and Rusty Old American Dream, the 1958 Cadillac that's rusting on the side of the road. That's God comes and finds me. He takes me into his garage and I look around, there's all these other cars that are also getting worked on, but I'm in the garage. I'm not perfect, but I'm in the garage where we're all working on stuff. This hospitality, and if we are not in a place in which we are sensing others being hospitable to us and all the parts of us that we hate the most, it will be difficult for me eventually to get to a place where the suffering that we read about later is going to easily translate into perseverance and character and hope. And Paul knows this because this is all just the prelude to what's coming when he talks about suffering. So when it comes to hope, we talk about faith and justification. We talk about trust. We talk about earned secure attachment as entering into the foothills of forming hope that is durable. And it's with that in mind that we want our listeners to be curious about who are the people by whom we're being deeply known. Mm. We always come back to this.
Yeah.
Such that I can practice being ready to name my suffering eventually. Because if I don't have those people, then otherwise I end up just thinking that, like, yeah, my suffering is really a matter of me trying to white knuckle it.
Yeah. And like you say, with those, with finding those people and, you know, it requires a risk, because if you're going to trust, you have to give the trust before you actually know that you're going to get it back.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no other way.
No.
And so it's risky. And I've shared with you, Kurt, in the past that, you know, like so many people in those kind of situations, there was some betrayal for, you know, and yet you have to keep going back to the well. You have to keep dipping the bucket in the well and just trusting the next person because you'll find them.
Yeah. Yeah. It is tricky, and it is also non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. There is no other way. There is no other way for us to do this. Otherwise we end up being on our own isolated islands, and our suffering becomes something that we are merely left to do with what we usually do with it. Like, I'm just going to try to get rid of it, try to distract myself from it, endure it. But I have a hard time imagining redemption in the middle of all this. So as we get to the end of our time here today, we have an activity. The last time, the activity that we invited people to engage with was just writing out some reflections about where you sense that your suffering takes place, or what are the things that you do to distract yourself from it, possibly. And then where you do sense and awareness of your suffering, what do you do in response to it? To what degree are we hospitable to it? And so forth. Today's activity invites you to reflect on what comes to mind when you consider notions of faith and justification. When you think of those words, how does it strike you to consider them in terms of embodiment, first of all? Like, what is it? Is it just a theological concept, or is it, and with whom am I having an embodied encounter that actually lets me feel in my chest the awareness that I'm loved by Jesus? And so that whole notion of trust, that whole notion of attachment, how does our conversation today about those ideas strike you, and how does it shape and form what your experience of faith and justification are? And then what have you encountered in the material world that provides an embodied experience of these theological ideas? For many people, the notion that faith is nothing more than, you know, just an act of the mind, of the cognition. I have faith, like I trust that 1 + 1 = 2. For some people, it can be a new thing to consider, like, oh my gosh, this is actually a thing I do with my body. And I wonder, like, what are those places? Where are those places? Where are those relationships? Where are those kinds of encounters? And it doesn't just have to be with human relationships. I mean, we can have relationships with nature. We can have, as we've talked before here, we can have encounters with beauty that also grant us an encounter that opens our imagination to what it can be like to be loved. And so what are some of those embodied experiences that enable you to imagine more deeply and more durably this sense, this felt sense that, yes, here's how I live faith in the world. Here's how I did it yesterday. Here's how I did it today. And recognizing that, you know, faith by definition is like I'm trusting something, which I don't have certainty. I can't guarantee outcomes. I'm trusting. I have confidence, but I don't have certainty. What does it mean? Where have been those places where you've acted out of trust, out of confidence, but not certainty in the last few days? And where have you noticed that God has been faithful? Or where are there places that you are worried that God won't be faithful? Because you've got plenty of history of trauma that teaches you that people aren't to be trusted. And so therefore, like, how am I going to trust God? Where are those places where you might say, goodness, I want to practice faith in this dimension of my life, but I'm afraid to, because there's the risk of suffering, which I actually, as it turns out, am already carrying within me, but that I haven't named until perhaps this very moment. And as we reflect on these things, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to just encourage people. You know, last week we encouraged people as they were doing the activities, if they felt called to email us their thoughts, you can do that at beingknownpod@icloud.com. That's beingknownpod@icloud.com. You can also ask any questions that you may have there, because we're liable to end up this season with, if we get a lot of good questions, then we will do a Q&A and answer those questions on air. But we'd love to hear from you all, so please, beingknownpod@icloud.com, give us any reflections that you may have on this week's activity. All right, Kurt.
All right, man.
Thank you for today.
Thank you, brother.
Until next week. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, stick around, because the one and only Amy Oh My Gosh Cella is going to be joining us.
Right on.
This podcast is produced by Kurt Thompson, Pepper Sweeney, and myself, Amy Cella. Audio production and editing is by Keaton Simons. Video production and editing is by Mark Gould. Speaking of videos, each week we post the video version of every episode to our YouTube channel. You can find us on YouTube by going to youtube.com or your app and searching Being Known Podcast. If you'd like to connect with us, you can find us on social media at Being Known Pod. If you like this podcast, tell a friend. Tell all of your friends. And please like, rate, and review. Be well. Be known.